Are electric pickup trucks going away? Are they dead completely?
Well, this is what we have to talk about today because there's been some interesting headlines in the news recently.
Yeah, and I think there's really kind of still two camps.
Yeah.
And actually, pickup truck manufacturers in the United States are still kind of approaching both spectrums, right? There's a lot of still electrified vehicles being manufactured and designed, but there's also a second gigantic volume of pickup trucks, which are primarily just gas and diesel powered.
Yeah, and then there's also the category of trucks that are plug-in hybrids or regular hybrids, which might be the best of both worlds. And it seems that there are some vehicles that companies are moving away from, canceling plans for all electric vehicles, including in the truck space. And the most interesting that we've seen this week, or really any time recently, is that apparently it looks like there were plans for an HD Ram truck that was going to be electric as early as 2027, which wouldn't have been that long around the corner. Now it appears that truck has been canceled.
Yeah, no more happening. So this is kind of our jumping point for this TFL Talking Trucks podcast. And so let's discuss this in a little bit more detail. And I also want to look at some of the comments we got from you guys who read TFLtruck.com and also, you know, comment on our videos. And we appreciate that very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously. So this is something that Andre covered a little bit already on the website. But what it is a lawsuit that has surfaced between parts suppliers that were going to create an electric axle for this Ram HD electric truck. So none of the information about this truck is actually coming from Ram or Stellantis themselves.
Nope.
Rather, it's coming from this lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly. And also this week, this is like the last week of April, first week of May, there's also ACT Expo, which is Advanced Technology Expo for trucks in California. We had our man Nathan actually go out and do a pretty detailed walk around. We also have a video about that on TFL Now channel. But basically, electrified solid axles are nothing new.
Right? Yeah.
We've been seeing them over the last five or more years. Basically, think of just a steel axle that you would see on any pickup truck, and the differentials are actually replaced with an electric motor, and sometimes inverters actually mounted on top of that as well.
Yeah, they're very cool. They're very self-contained systems that all live within this electric axle. And like you said, it's something that we've tested a little bit in the past. Magna,
exactly.
Who is a huge company that does a lot of manufacturing and engineering solutions for different companies, including building the Mercedes G-Wagon, is one of their big things. Among many others. But a while back, we tested an electric axle they had created that was underpinning a GM HD truck.
Exactly. There was a heavy-duty GM truck, test prototype. I've also tested electric axles underneath a Jeep Gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
So this technology is not new. It's just nobody has really put it into, you know, high-volume production. There is some, I think, commercial vehicles trying to play around with this technology, and Nathan saw a lot of those at the ACT Expo 2025 in Anaheim, California. But so let's talk a little bit more about this Ram story, which is actually not coming from Ram, like you said. But I used a little bit of AI to create a few images because I kind of like once in a while to play around with some of those tools and get some renderings going.
Yeah, and see maybe what something could look like. And the renderings that you made, I wouldn't mind if they turned into actual trucks because they look really good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So this is not coming from Ram. Please don't misunderstand it. This is not a Ram design. This is just a rendering created by some AI tools and a couple of different versions of this. And, you know, a couple of years ago, Roman and I were at CES, Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. And then CEO Carlos Tavares, who was a CEO, no longer a CEO of Stellantis, he actually also mentioned hydrogen fuel cell pickup trucks and vans. So, and that technology seems to make a little bit more sense for a heavy-duty vehicle. Here's Carlos Tavares standing out there on stage, if you're watching this on TFL Talk channel, because you can easily refuel hydrogen as far as time is concerned.
Yeah, so you would get still the torque and pulling advantages of an electric powertrain combined with the fast refueling that you get When you have a hydrogen vehicle, of course, the issue, as most of us all know, is just that the infrastructure for hydrogen isn't there, and it's a difficult, expensive thing to build out and create. So that's part of the reason that it hasn't caught on. There's a couple stations in California, but that's about it.
Yeah. And also producing hydrogen itself can be an issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well. Actually getting hydrogen generated in the first place because it also takes energy to do that.
Yeah.
But there's also a couple of different projects. Toyota has a project and also Hyundai have a project where they create hydrogen out of waste food products,
yeah.
Basically digesters that kind of take waste, mostly food and plant waste, and actually use that to create natural gas and also hydrogen.
Yeah, which is interesting. It's definitely an interesting technology, but there are imperfections to it. It's not a perfect solution. That being said, it is something that former CEO of Stellantis, Carlos Tavares, expressed interest in creating an HD truck that had a hybrid electric powertrain, a hydrogen electric powertrain.
Yeah.
However, the truck that appears to have been canceled, there's nothing that we can pull from this lawsuit that's existing that tells us that this truck was going to be a hydrogen vehicle?
No, nothing.
But what the lawsuit is about is there's a company called Valeo that's suing another company, American Axle. So Stellantis is not actually involved directly in this lawsuit.
But it was named in that lawsuit.
It's named in the lawsuit because these are both part suppliers that were building out the necessary things they needed to produce these electric axles. And this lawsuit is for $25 million. Because this company, Valeo, invested in building out facilities
and from technology and axles, yeah.
Yeah.
And motors.
And now the truck is canceled,
yeah.
So they're not going to be able to realize that investment.
Exactly. So I also wanted to see what some of the comments were saying. So, Cole, if you could pull up a couple of comments, because I kind of want to see what is the audience, you know, what are you guys thinking? Like, are you guys bummed? Or I think most of the comments said, thank goodness.
Yeah. In general, people were not too upset to see that there's not going to be an electric HD truck.
Yeah.
Understandably, HD trucks are primarily used for pulling trailers. That's kind of the biggest perk. And pulling a trailer with an EV over long distances, which is, again, what a lot of electric trucks or what a lot of HD trucks do, is not very effective with an electric truck.
Exactly. And like we said, you know, recharging times can be high, long waits for recharging, and hydrogen infrastructure is not there.
Yeah.
Period. So I think a lot of the comments that you guys, for example, Toy Crusher and Jay and several other people in our comment section on the website, I think the common sentiment is we're not quite there yet. Like,
yeah.
If you know, batteries were a little bit lighter, a little bit more, cheaply available. Because let's face it, all these technologies are expensive.
Yeah.
Like if you look at some of the semi-trucks that are produced with hydrogen power plants, those are like double or triple the price of a diesel truck. So,
yeah. So
there's a lot of barriers to actually creating a heavy-duty electric truck.
However, at the ACT Expo, there was something pretty cool. It's called the Revolt hybrid semi-truck, and this is a series hybrid system that uses a diesel engine to supply power for an electric drive motor system. And that's a really cool combination because you still get the perks of being able to go to a station, fill up with diesel, and head off on your way, but you also get the advantages of an electric powertrain like regeneration, where you're bringing energy back into the system while slowing your rig down. And you get the power and immediate available torque of an electric powertrain. So this truck has some pretty impressive stats.
Exactly. And I think Cole is pulling up a couple of images. There's one image of kind of a little bit more traditional streamlined semi-truck that you could see on the highway every day now.
Yeah.
But Cole, if you go scroll up and go to news section all the way on the right there, there's another image, if you could zoom in a little bit lower, there's a blue classic Peterbilt.
Yeah.
You might have to zoom in on that page. So this truck looks traditional, square nose, basically like a 379 model Peterbilt with dual stacks, with exhaust stacks pointing upwards, but it's actually hiding a hybrid powertrain underneath. And I think Revolt was just trying to show, hey, we could have any truck be powered by this system.
Yeah, and granted, having basically two powertrains, both a diesel engine to supply power and an electric powertrain, and a battery to supply power to the electric portion of that powertrain would be an expensive solution, but it's one that could give you a couple potential advantages. For one, Revolt is talking about a torque figure like 3,500 pound-feet of torque, which is a really solid number. Again, we talked about regeneration. There's also some different city applications where if you're in a particular city that requires you to be in a no emissions
or maybe quiet mode
or a quiet mode, then you could use that around the city. And then when you get back onto the highway, switch back on the diesel generator and go. So and also just fuel economy in general, that's going to affect the bottom line for truckers that are hauling cross country if they can do that more efficiently. So a couple potential big advantages of a powertrain like this. But once again, I think we could reasonably expect that something like this is going to be on the pricey side.
Exactly. And I think the only way this could make sense if there's a large fleet, like a large company like, I don't know, Walmart or Target or Amazon that buy, you know, dozens or hundreds of vehicles.
Yeah.
It could make sense for them because they can spread the cost around their fleet and also save on fuel, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the whole thing. I mean, you're not using as much diesel as you would otherwise.
Yeah, and people may wonder too about the longevity of the electric portion of the powertrain, because obviously semi-trucks do massive mileage over their lifetimes. And from the automotive side of things in general, we've actually seen really good longevity with a lot of EV powertrains, including the batteries. A lot of people talk about huge concerns with battery packs that, oh, in 10 years, you're going to have to replace it and it's going to cost $40,000. For the majority of electric vehicles, that's not the reality. First generation Nissan Leafs and still current Nissan Leafs have air-cooled batteries. So especially in really hot climates, they struggled from premature battery degradation. And that doesn't really impact the majority of other EVs. There's plenty of EVs that we see out there with a couple hundred thousand miles plus that still have 80-90% of their battery capacity. So these liquid-cooled batteries on more high-end vehicles can actually last a pretty long time, which means that a powertrain like this in a truck like that could actually do pretty well.
Exactly. And as long as, you know, there's more testing, and as the time goes on, this will continue to improve. But I think some of the benefits are, like we mentioned, you know, fuel savings there, but also, for example, speed. You mentioned massive torque and horsepower of electric motors. Well, when we see trucks in the Rocky Mountains and they're moving at 30 miles an hour, because, you know, that's kind of the speed of climbing.
And air density.
And air density for diesel engines, you know, loaded with up to 80,000 pounds. But an electric motor can actually do that maybe at 50 or 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So actually you could save some time actually climbing over mountains and delivering your freight.
And there's also plenty of times that we see loaded up semi-trucks going back down from the tunnel. And
at the same speeds.
And their brakes are smoking. And having some of the regeneration could potentially help you with slowing that load down as well. When we've done Ike gauntlets with obviously non-commercial trucks, but electric trucks nonetheless, towing a decent amount of weight, it tends to be a really easy time on the downhill.
Exactly, because you can go a little bit faster because those electric motors are become generators, basically.
Yeah.
Plus, you're getting energy out of it.
So again,
that's amazing.
I mean, it's a potentially really cool technology. Is it going to be for everyone? Is it going to be the most affordable thing on the planet? Probably not. There's always going to be downsides to any solution, but still something that could be pretty cool.
Exactly. So I think the answer is, I think what we're seeing based on the latest information that we have is that your heavy-duty pickup, be it a Ford, GM, or Ram, will continue to be gas V8 and diesel-powered.
Yeah.
For a foreseeable future. We're talking about 2, 3, 4, 5 years into the future. This seems to be the norm.
Yeah.
For now.
Absolutely. I think that for quite a good amount of time to come, we're still going to be seeing combustion trucks.
There might be a mild hybrid sprinkled here and there, but we have no information to suggest this right now. So that's kind of where the heavy-duty trucks are. They're going to continue to have big V8 gasoline engines.
And diesels.
Also diesels and also fancy transmissions. You know, 10-speed transmissions are now the norm, it seems like, or 8 to 10 speeds. So that's where we're going to continue to see that. I also want to switch up and go into kind of rapid-fire news section. Maybe we could go here first because there are several people asking us what's happening with either the Sierra EV or the Silverado EV.
Yes, yeah, and this is going to be the last topic for today's podcast about EV trucks.
Yes, so calm down, please. So
don't worry. There's a lot of combustion and solid axles coming.
Because we have a lot of project talk. We want to talk about some of our projects, which are not electric.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. So Sierra EV AT4, also the Silverado, the Trail Boss version of it.
Yeah.
Some interesting things, like a 2-inch lift, 35-inch tires, and sounds like they're going to have some off-road modes.
Yeah, very fancy control systems, software control systems that control these trucks.
But I've yet to hear mention of mechanical lockers. And we've done quite a bit of testing with the Hummer EV in some different configurations, including a tri-motor setup that has both a virtual locker for the two separate electric motors that are on one end of the truck, but a mechanical locker for the single electric motor in the front. And the virtual locker on that tri-motor Hummer EV in our testing did very little, but the mechanical locker did quite a lot. So it would be great with a dual motor Sierra EV AT4 to be able to have some actual mechanical lockers. But it doesn't sound like they've
yeah, and I think we're going to learn more just within a couple months. So please stay tuned. Yeah. Within about a month or two, these trucks are going into production, actually. And this is one of the main questions, is that is GM walking away from those trucks, or are they still continuing to build them? And the answer, at least right now, the answer we're seeing right now is that the Sierra EV lineup is going to grow. The 84 and elevation trim levels will show up this summer. And also Silverado Trail Boss and also LT trucks. We already tested the LT truck, which is kind of a mid-range. And the Silverado EV Trail Boss is also going to show up this summer. So that's the latest we have from GM.
Yeah, and these trucks are not going to be inexpensive. I've seen prices on them around $80,000.
Yeah, 80 to 81, that's what we've seen, yeah.
So I would want for that price to see at least one mechanical locker.
At least one mechanical locker.
Yeah, but it would be cool if they could do a Sierra EV AT4X and have two lockers.
With DSSV shocks, right?
Yeah.
With those fancy shocks, that would be sweet. It would make it more expensive, but it would be very capable, I think.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, moving on from the electric stuff.
Completely, let's switch.
Switch gears. On our combustion powertrain.
Yes, manual.
Something pretty interesting. So what, in our last podcast, we were talking a little bit about smaller Ram trucks. We were talking about a Ram midsize, of course.
So Cole, we're not talking about big metal. We're going to talk a little bit more about
small metal.
So if you can go back to our website, tfltruck.com, we're talking about the Ram Rampage.
Yeah.
And you and I have mentioned this before because we're kind of tired of wishing for a Rampage to come.
Right, and tired of wishing for the Dakota, too.
Yes, but just a couple days ago, there was additional news that Ram, or Stellantis, filed a U.S. patent for design elements of the Rampage.
Yeah, and it just makes sense because compact trucks are pretty popular over here. The Maverick has been a really big seller, and this Ram Rampage in other markets already exists.
Yeah, it's on sale in Brazil as we speak and some other markets around the world. There's a challenge, though. So several hurdles that Ram would have to cross because right now the Ram Rampage is built in Brazil. So it's a pickup truck. So there could be a lot of tariffs and chicken tax and whatnot. I mean, there's a lot of tariff situation for the Rampage. So I don't know if they could actually build it
where it's being built currently.
Yeah, or move production, right?
Yeah.
So they could maybe move production. That would take them at least a year or two at the very fastest.
And it would be a huge financial investment, but it would make sense as well if they also updated the design of the Rampage for the American market to keep it competitive.
But look at this. If you could go back to the tailgate shot, Cole.
Or the taillights?
Yeah, the taillights. What is up with the taillight? It looks like an American flag.
It's pretty nice. I like
it. That would be really cool. You know, they should do those taillights across the board on every Ram.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Every Ram should have that.
That's a good idea.
Why not?
I can't think of a single reason why not.
I know a lot of you have been asking about this. Where's the Ram Rampage? Why can't we have a small truck? Why can't we have a Dakota? Right. Dakota is a different story because it probably will be a body on frame type mid-size vehicle.
It'd be very different from this Rampage, but there's no reason why we can't have both.
Exactly. And so it looks like maybe Ram is slowly, I mean, it's going to take time, right? If they need to move production.
It's not going
to
happen next year.
It could take some time, at least a year, potentially, maybe two, maybe more. But hopefully they can find a way to speed it up. And because really what they have to fight against is the, we talked about this recently, the base Maverick hybrid, which is the base Maverick you can get, is around $28,500.
Yeah, which is a lot more expensive than it used to be.
So this brand new Rampage, that's the line they have to meet.
Yeah, that's kind of the benchmark.
Yeah.
And for compact trucks, the Maverick is by far the benchmark because it way outsells the Santa Cruz.
Exactly. So if they can meet that price by building it in Brazil, they can do it.
Yeah, so it could be interesting.
Who knows?
Something potentially on the horizon. Now, something else interesting. The last podcast we had, we were talking a little bit about the insurance on your Buhanka, the real one, not this one.
Yeah. So summer is upon us, almost. This is spring. And we're talking about projects. You working on your Land Rover Discovery.
Yeah, wrapping it up.
Yeah, so I cannot wait to see you drive it into the sunset, on a highway.
Can't wait. Can't keep waiting.
But the Buhanka, last episode on the podcast, I mentioned that I was struggling with the insurance on my four-wheel drive UAZ van. I got it.
Yeah. So
somehow I worked it out with Hagerty. Everything is good. The insurance is settled. So now it's just a matter of me getting the exhaust system put on it.
Exactly.
Also, Cole, can you show the tires, actually? I just got, thanks to our friends at Firestone.
Yeah.
I just got really, really sweet Destination MT tires. So you could see them right there. They're still not on the van, but I'm going to be putting them on tomorrow with David. So David, of course, is one of our friends who we've done several videos with. So I cannot wait because I'm actually repurposing old CJ5 Jeep wheels.
Yeah, that Tommy had, which is going to be pretty cool. So you'll have some more aggressive rubber on the van.
And like actually new rubber.
Yeah,
without cracking in DK.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Because the old tires that you've got on the Buhanka are a little...
Pretty terrible.
A little worse for wear.
Very terrible.
So new wheels, new tires. Well, new to you wheels, brand new tires. Did you work with Davis at Firestone to get them?
Yeah. So yeah. I really want to thank,
good guy.
The folks and our friends at Firestone.
Yeah.
And also they have different options. These wheels are 15-inch diameter. So I was a little nervous because, everything is like...
Hard to find sizes for.
Yeah, hard to find sizes. But no, Firestone had it, and it was really quick. So really good stuff.
So big things happening with the Buhanka, new shoes.
Yes.
Also, there's going to be new shoes on this Ford F600, this 1976 Ford F600 four-wheel drive that you bought. Very cool. That's going to need some new wheels and tires, and you've got that in the works as well.
Exactly. And so we published the first episode of the Ford F600 4x4, which is a 1976 fire truck. Used to be a fuel truck at the ski area, Mount Bachelor.
Yeah.
So we had two names floating around in the first episode. One name that
Freedom
the
Fred.
Team liked was Freedom Fred, because 1976, 200th anniversary of the United States.
Yep.
And then Bachelor Pad came out.
Right.
Because it says Mount Bachelor on the door of this truck. David was there. And David, of course, does what David does. And he said, why don't I build a bed and a camper?
Yeah. And for one, a camper on the back of it would be really cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Do you think you would use this to go camping, or do you think you should do a flatbed on it, make it more of just kind of a cool farm trucks,
why not show truck. Why not do both?
Yeah, I guess if you have a camper that you could take on and off,
that'd be pretty cool. So I think the idea is, so first of all, David is an amazing builder.
Yeah.
He builds with wood.
He can build anything.
He builds with metal, steel. He even learned how to weld aluminum when we were working on the Buhanka project. He rewelded part of the—
Is there aluminum on the Buhanka?
The radiator.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So nothing original on
No. It's a brand new radiator that we had to modify, and David welded the aluminum radiator, which is amazing. So I'm getting excited, and it seems like I need to spend a lot more money. But I want to put, you know, larger tires because it's geared so low, this truck, that its top speed is maybe 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, no, it's not very fast. But if you haven't seen this F600, definitely check out the video. It's a really cool machine, huge, solid front and rear axles. Dually, although you're probably going to go to kind of a super single setup.
Yeah, and actually I saw some comments on the first episode that said, keep the duals, keep the duals. There's a little camp that likes duals.
Yeah.
But
but super singles would be pretty cool.
But it was just— So yeah. Here's, I have another exciting piece of news related to the F600.
Right.
So first of all, I am thinking about singles, super singles, basically making it a true 4x4, not a dually truck. But the way I'm thinking of this truck is it spent 50 years working. Mm-hmm. Or 49 years working. It was a fire truck. It was a fueling truck. He's retired now.
Yeah. Okay. Gets to relax a little bit.
Okay. So that's why, like, your idea about a flatbed, you know, it's multi-purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you could do anything.
You could do anything. You can go fishing with the truck. You can do whatever. But I reached out to Ford, our friends at Ford PR and Ford Corporate. And I said, could you help me verify that this truck is original or not? And they came back with an answer really, really quickly. So I really want to thank our friends at Ford, specifically Griffin. Griffin was helping me out. And listen to this. We can confirm this 1976 Ford F600 was factory built 4x4, VIN code F65, because we're decoding the VIN number, basically.
Yeah.
The engine is original, 361 cubic inch, code E. Truck was built as a chassis cab, so it came out of the factory with nothing on the back, basically frame rails, right?
Yep.
Which makes a lot of sense. The 5-speed transmission, the manual in it, is original, code M. It's a Clark 285V direct drive. Basically, the fifth gear is 1-to-1.
Yeah.
That's why it's so slow.
Yeah.
So it's really meant for carrying lots of weight and going very slowly. Rockwell transfer case, Rockwell axles, built in Kentucky truck plant, which they still built Super Duties and Expeditions and Lincoln Navigators there. And it was originally ordered via Denver District Sales Office.
Yeah, so it's kind of, well, back to one of its homes.
It's
not back to Kentucky, but it's back to Denver.
And it's not back to Oregon.
Yeah,
but
no.
But it's back to Denver.
Yeah.
Basically. So I'm super excited. So this truck is original, which makes me think I want to keep the powertrain intact as long as I can.
Yeah.
Because since it is original, and if it's still working, I don't want to touch it right now.
Which makes sense, because it is pretty cool that pretty much all of the powertrain seems to be very original to the truck, like you said. Definitely the four-wheel drive system, the solid axles, and the transfer case and all of that would be very cool to keep original. And that V8 and the 5-speed, I'm sure that you could get them a little bit happier, some fresh fluids, a little tune-up, a little refresh.
Maybe change the carburetor or rebuild the carburetor.
Yeah.
A lot of you suggested, you know, going from a 2-barrel to a 4-barrel. By the way, the power rating on this engine, 140 horsepower-ish and 400 pound-feet of torque. So really torquey, but 140 horsepower to move a truck that weighs, 11,000 pounds maybe?
Might have to do heads and a cam in it.
Yeah. True dual exhaust.
That'd be pretty cool. It already sounds good.
Well, it has no mufflers almost. I mean, it has a cherry bomb.
Yeah, it's got cherry bombs under it, which is awesome. It already sounds good, but maybe heads and a cam, make it really sing. That could be pretty cool. Get you a couple more mile per hour going down the road. Should we continue with projects?
Yeah, let's continue with project because, yeah, I mean...
There's a couple other bits of news that we'll talk about.
Let's talk about David's project.
This is another really cool machine. David is calling it Helen, named after the person who had the cab of this truck beforehand.
Exactly.
But what he's building is an off-road wrecker, so the kind of thing that you'll see on a lot of popular YouTube channels, and David isn't doing this so much as a YouTube thing, but just because it's something he wants to do.
He's very passionate about it.
And it's a really cool combination. For one, that square body cab is awesome.
Super cool. Yeah, it's a Chevy square body. I forget which year. Did he tell you yesterday?
I don't remember what year the body is.
It's early 70s, I want to say.
The other cool thing is the bed on the back of the truck is something that he's very heavily modified, but actually that bed was on my 12-valve Cummins when I bought it, and David wanted it. It's a really well-built thing. It's all diamond-plated. It's got these big lockers.
And he also he updated the bed with his own design, basically.
Yeah. So he updated it very heavily, including that headache rack, spare tire mount, and it actually had boxes, storage boxes all the way back to the end of the bed. So he's just got those front boxes on it now, but he's going to have winches all over this rig. He built some really sturdy...
And a crane boom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Built some really sturdy rock sliders. He also reinforced the rear axle. It's got like a big truss on it. So he did a bunch of fabricating and
welding. He designed his own leaf spring suspension mounts.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, so it's a really cool rig. And just recently, we got him a set of some BFG 37-inch tires for it?
KM3, so the latest mud-terrain tire from BFG. And actually, being a 37-inch by 12.5 wide, it looks kind of small in this truck.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I think that it looks...
Or proportional.
...decently sized. And if you're listening, I guess you'll just have to take our word for it. But David is building himself a really cool truck here, one that he's very excited about. He even went through this whole powertrain, rebuilt the motor.
It's a big block.
Yeah, it's a 454. He's done a lot of work to this, and it's turned out really cool.
Yeah, and there will be a separate video with this truck, about this truck, coming up shortly. I think we could do a couple different things. We could take it off-road.
Yeah.
Because David wants to exercise this truck and actually put it to some use. And also, like you and Tommy could review it maybe on the Classics channel as well.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of cool stuff happening with this truck.
Yeah, David is a really creative and talented guy. He's able to build just about anything, like we said. And this is, as far as something on wheels, this is maybe the most extensive and coolest thing that his talents towards yet.
Yes, and I think it has like 7 winches.
Yeah.
So that's the whole trend, right? I know David, he enjoys watching like Matt's Recovery, mm-hmm. Off-Road Recovery channels, yeah. And some other channels. But 7, I want to see all those working.
All at the same time?
That'd yeah, be cool. All at the same time. Well, because yeah. 2 winches are actually operate the boom.
Yeah.
So there's a winch that operates the raising and lowering of the boom, and the other one operates the rope inside the boom.
Right.
You know, that actually lifts something up.
Yeah.
So those are 2 of the 7 winches, I believe.
Yeah.
So
it's a really cool project.
Pretty crazy.
We also have another really cool project that's none of our personal vehicles, but one that belongs to the company. And this is a Deuce from Boyce, who is one of the big companies responsible for bobbing Deuces and building them out. So there's a lot of different options that you can spec. Paint colors, AC, they've got a lot of different Deuces to choose from.
And different bed options, all that stuff.
And the one that we're having them build for us is going to look eventually kind of like this that's pictured.
Yeah, it's military green with black accents and also these ginormous tires, basically 46-inch tires.
So cool.
Mounted on custom wheels. And we have a couple of pictures, I think, Cole, from our truck. This is our exact truck going into the paint booth and actually getting some paint on it.
So very soon, this truck is going to be in our possession. We're going to have to get it from, Salt Lake City, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's near Salt Lake City, and this is Boyce Equipment, once again, who is building it for us. All of a sudden, we went from no big trucks to to potentially two big trucks all at the same time.
F600 and the Deuce, which is not a bad thing.
Exactly. So it's, I think this 2025 will be the year of the big truck.
Yeah, I like to hear that. That's a good year to be a part of.
Yeah. So this is going this Bob Deuce and a Half also have a front winch.
Yeah.
But this is a very heavy duty one, like a 16,500.
And the plan is to drive that truck from Salt Lake here to Colorado because we don't have a trailer.
Via Moab.
We don't have a trailer nearly big enough
for
it
yet. Yet.
Maybe someday.
But we're driving it here via Moab, Utah.
Yeah, we've got to make a stop in Moab.
Come on.
And make all the rocks in Moab look small.
Yes.
That's the goal. So.
But also, I understand this is also not a high-speed machine.
No.
So this is not... By the way, the axles, the Rockwell axles underneath this Bob Deuce and a Half are the same axles that are underneath my Ford.
Which is pretty cool. So you're going to have to put them head to head.
Not identical, by the way. They're designed a little bit differently because the military axles were actually turned on their side, so to speak. So the pumpkin is facing the ground.
Right.
And the drive portion is on top.
Interesting.
For better clearance, right?
Yeah.
Because military trucks are meant to go where there are no roads, basically. Just go completely off the beaten path.
And who knows? Maybe someday we'll be able to get our buddy Jay Couch and one of his Unimogs out.
Ooh.
We could do Deuce
Jay,
versus
Jay,
Unimog.
Are you listening? I hope he's listening.
Yeah, he might
be. He's busy.
Yeah, that would be really cool to have Deuce versus Unimog.
Versus Ford.
Versus F600, yeah.
Yeah. Now, stay tuned for that. I really want to make that happen.
That would be a huge video.
So that would be sweet.
I think that would actually do really well.
Yeah. He also has more stuff than Unimogs. Like you and I saw, there's a MAN. There's a man truck there. He's got
8x8s, 10x10s.
He's got a 5-ton version of the Deuce and a Half.
Yeah.
You know, he's got some big trucks.
Yeah. So a considerably bigger version of the Deuce than what we've got. A lot of cool stuff.
You know what they say about fish in the ocean? There's always the bigger fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jay Couch is that bigger fish.
He's got some big trucks.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned 10 by 10s.
Exactly. I don't think it gets a whole lot bigger than that.
No.
So a little bit more news. Some news from GM.
Yeah.
Couple spotted prototypes of the Silverado and the Sierra 1500. Both of which had dual exhaust,
exactly.
Which is a good sign.
Maybe Cole can look it up just via Google. 2027, some people are referring them as Chevy Silverado 1500 trucks. And there's a couple of good things. First of all, we see prototypes. Whenever a prototype is seen in public, that means they're getting closer and closer to actually delivering the truck, right? And actually putting it into production. And a lot of these prototypes, I don't know if we can see the rear view of one of these, but they have very visible dual exhaust systems on these puppies.
Yeah, which is good news because it means obviously they're still keeping around some gas powertrains, likely going to be still V8.
Yeah, because the sixth generation V8... Yeah. Has been rumored for many, many years already. And once again, it's one of those topics like the Rampage where we've talked about it several times, but we still haven't seen any fruits of this labor. So I'm quite excited. But on the flip side, so this truck is supposed to come out next year. So not this calendar year, but 2026 is a 2027 model potentially. That's the current rumor. And we still don't know what it looks like. There's a lot of renderings about what it looks like, but we still don't have the true information about it. But GM is currently struggling with a little bit of reliability on their V8.
Yeah, there's been that shadow cast by the 6.2 liter V8. In which about 877,000 vehicles.
Which is a lot of vehicles.
And
we have a story about it, Cole, on our site.
Yeah,
as well.
It affects as much as 877,000 vehicles. And the issues that the 6.2 V8s are having are bottom-end issues. So connecting rod, crankshaft failures, with as little as we've seen stories of ones with 4 miles. Having a connecting rod go and the whole engine having to be replaced. So it's obviously something that's a pretty big deal. That being said, the vehicles that are named in the NHTSA investigation are 2021 to 2024. So theoretically, the 2025 models shouldn't be affected. And if going forwards, we're having entire new generations of the engine, then hopefully that would be something that would be one of the primary things for them to address.
Exactly. And I know they're watching this like a hawk. And so the current solution, and actually one of my neighbors, Tim, actually called me. He owns one of the trucks affected or included in this particular recall. By the way, there was also a stop sale. So any 2024 vehicles with the 6.2 liter V8 that were sitting on dealer lots had to be checked before being sold. And one of the solutions right now is to change the oil.
Yeah.
And I think the filter and the...
With a heavier oil.
With a heavier oil, a 0W40
instead of
a 0W20. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll have to watch this space. It's kind of a bummer because GM, I mean, you're using a GM motor, not the same year, obviously.
No, I got a 2007 6-liter LS2 from a C6 Corvette in my Land Rover.
And I'm using a 2003 4.8 liter LS V8.
Yeah, so ours are much older.
In my Buhanka project. But Chevy and V8 engines, it's like peanut butter and jelly.
Absolutely.
It's like, you know, Cracker Jack and baseball.
Yeah, and generally, GM V8s have had a good reputation for a long time. This is a little bit of a...
Like you said, it's a shadow.
Yeah,
but
a little bit of a bad mark on that history. So it'll be interesting to see if going forward, if they rebrand the more premium V8 option, either change up the displacement a little bit or just give it a different name, because at this point, this issue has been extensive enough that it might take some rebranding and definitely some re-engineering for people to be confident in this engine again or whatever it turns into. Because if it continues to be called the 6.2, even if they've fixed the issue down the line, people might be hesitant, especially to spend extra money on it.
And I know we're talking about GM here only, but every truck has been recalled in recent, and actually every vehicle.
Yeah, there's been a lot of recalls.
Has been recalled. And this particular engine, the 6.2 V8, it's pretty high strung for what it was, for what it is, because it's combining, you know, it's kind of a premium engine, so it requires premium fuel to make the power numbers that it makes. It also uses a very fancy cylinder deactivation system, the DFM, dynamic fuel management. It has, I don't know, it's got a 10-speed behind it now, but it wants to make the best fuel efficiency possible because that's the regulations, right? The regulations are pushing these vehicles to be the most efficient and the cleanest burning as possible while still delivering the premium quality and also performance of those engines. So this engine is trying to do a lot, but a lot of people may not realize it needs or premium fuel, like high octane fuels.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some people are putting, you know, lesser fuels into it. So there's a lot of things could be happening with this engine.
And it's hard to say. I think if these engines are having failures at as little as 4 miles,
it
would be hard to put the responsibility of that
on the owner,
on anyone but the manufacturer. So hopefully something that gets addressed beyond just running a different viscosity oil and inspecting the bottom ends
on these
trucks.
It sounds the metal composition of the internal parts.
Yeah.
So I know manufacturers, you know, continue to play around, you know, what type of steel alloy or what, you know, what material can we use here? You know, aluminum blocks, not aluminum blocks, compact graphite blocks or whatever. I mean, they continuously play around with materials, and maybe this material was bad. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we don't know what's happening here.
That'll be one of the things that we see in the next generation of these V8s is improvements there. And again, who knows, maybe they'll find a way to rebrand it a little bit to separate it even more so from these engines that have developed not a good reputation.
And also, we love V8s.
Yeah.
We cannot lie.
V8s to stick around, that's for sure.
Yeah, you and I did a story recently where there's a rumor about the Hemi V8 coming back.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot of goodness because, you know, we like, you know, hearing those engines. You know, they offer good performance. We talked about, you know, with the right transmission, they can be just as efficient as a V6.
Yeah,
in many aspects.
Downsized six-cylinder turbo engines have perks, have advantages, but they're not necessarily any or much more efficient than a naturally aspirated V8. And we love V8s in pickup trucks. So if they can stick around and still get the fuel economy they need to exist and be reasonable things to buy and own and drive every day in this day and age, then that would be spectacular. So
exactly.
Let's see the Hemi come back. Let's see them improve these V8s in the GM trucks. Who knows? Maybe even Ford will get back on the V8 train like GM.
Exactly. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we answered the question, you know, we asked in the very beginning. I think, you know, heavy duty trucks will continue to be, you know, internal combustion for a very long time. But there's still a lot of excitement about small trucks and
V8s.
And V8s as well.
Could you imagine if Ford put a V8 in the full size Bronco? That would be a huge problem for me. Financially.
Because it could ruin you.
It could very well might.
It could ruin you.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but if they did, well.
Well, the Bronco engine bay currently houses twin turbo V6s as one of the options. So it's not out of the question that a V8 could fit, but it's kind of tight.
That 5.5-liter Coyote, that's a pretty small footprint engine.
It's a compact
engine.
Come
on, it's got to be possible.
All right.
Who do we have to talk to about that?
I think Jim Farley.
Okay.
But Jim Farley is an enthusiast. I mean, he races Ford GTs.
Yeah.
So he understands this.
I don't even need it to be supercharged. It doesn't have to have to be the Raptor R engine. It doesn't have to be a GT500 or anything. Just a bog-standard 5-liter Coyote in a Bronco.
We're not asking for much, are we?
Yeah, come on, guys.
Alrighty. All right, well, thanks for joining us on another episode. We'll see you next week. Check out oldtfl.com and also Carish Podcast.
Yeah, we got another podcast where we kind of talk about cars. Talk about cars, right?
That's Cole? Why it's Carish. Yeah. Carish. And I love listening to Carish because you guys have fun. I mean, you and I try to have fun.
Yeah.
But
we're covering the news, man.
Yeah, but I cannot dream about having as much fun as you guys have on Carish.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, so if you're ever lacking in podcasts, that's another one you can check out. That's all for this week, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.